Go ahead and turn in your Bibles. Let's just get started because of time. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. This is, we're going to finish this morning our study of what we're calling the principles of biblical interpretation. Now, I think it's been a fun study. It's a great study. We're seeking to be prepared to get into the Word of God for ourselves. We want to be trained so we can study God's Word and then know how to apply it and then pass it on. So it's important that we as believers know what we believe and why we believe it. In these last four lessons, which have not, you know, we've done less than a lesson a week, so it's been more than 4 weeks, but in the last four lessons, we touched on a lot of different things about getting the Scripture for ourselves. We know that when we've trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, that our goal is to grow in the grace of knowledge, and the only way you can do that is know the Bible. So this study has encouraged us to get in the Scripture. Our goal, study the Bible, understand it, know what we believe, why we believe it, and then pass it on to others. This morning, we're going to do, I think, three things. We're going to give a brief review of what we've done, just very quickly. I'm going to give you some tips for Bible study. Like if you were going to study the Bible, I'm going to say that you're going to set aside an hour to study the Scripture. How would you do it? What would you do? And then we're going to talk about some tools for Bible study. I brought a bunch of things in here just for you to see. Some of them you'd say, oh, we'll never use that. Some you would, but we'll talk about it as we go through it. Let's begin with a prayer, and then we'll get into the study. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for this class. Thank you for the privilege that I have to get to be in the class and even get to teach. Thank you for each one that's here, that they come, and we just have such a lot of fun. Help us, Lord, as we think about studying the Bible and having tools and being ready to do it. Thank you for the way to get into Scripture of observation, interpretation, and application. Thank you for the tools that you've used, allowed people to do and put together over history so that people can know how to get into your Word. Help us, Lord, today that as we study this, that we'll put all this together. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. What, do you know what you believe? I mean, can you go to the Bible and defend your beliefs? Do you believe that salvation is simply by grace through faith? You'd say, well, yeah, salvation is a gift. It doesn't cost us anything. Can you go to the Bible to show that? Do you believe that the Bible is God's Word, that it's perfect and inerrant? And you say, well, sure, I believe it's God's Word. Can you go to the Scripture to show that? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is going to come as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and come to Jerusalem and sit on the throne of David? Do you believe that? You may say, well, I believe that. Can you go to the Scripture to show that and say, this is where the verses are that deal with this sort of thing? Well, the bottom line is 1 Peter 3:15. Notice what it says. It says, but sanctify, set apart Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is within you with gentleness and reverence. Bottom line, be ready to give an answer to what you believe. Be ready to give a defense what you believe. Now, this is a lifetime process. This is not 3 weeks from now, a month from now, 6 months from now, you know it all and you can defend anything. You can't. It's the rest of our lives. We're continuing to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, putting this stuff together. So that's the bottom line. As those who have trusted Christ, we should know what we believe, and we do that as we study the Bible. And, of course, our goal for these last few studies has been to how to get into Scripture and what are some tools and all those kind of things. 2 Timothy 2:15, the famous verse, study to show yourself approved, a workman need not be ashamed, handling accurately the Word of God. That's our famous Awana verse, but the bottom line there says you need to know how to get into Scripture, you need to know how to divide the Bible, you need to know how it fits together. So this morning, we'll do the three things in the final lessons. We'll get the brief review, the tips, and the tools. Let's start with the brief review. Okay, and we raised some questions, and you don't have to write all this stuff down, but if you'll remember, we raised the very first question of why are there different interpretations? I mean, why is it that if people say, well, we believe the Bible, and we've all studied, and we've all gone to different seminaries and different schools, and we're all different, why is it that when we look at a passage, there are different interpretations of it? Well, we said this, and just for you to remember, you don't have to write all this down unless you just want to very quickly, but there are different presuppositions. People bring presuppositions to the Bible. Some people bring to the Bible, they say, well, you can lose your salvation. So when they look at certain verses, they say, that verse is telling you can lose your salvation. Other people come to the Bible, they have a presupposition that you cannot lose your salvation. So they look at that passage. It doesn't say that. I mean, so that the presuppositions, sometimes not bridging the gaps. You remember there's the gaps of the language gap, or the time gap, or the history gap, and all of those kind of things. Sometimes people don't bridge those gaps. That's why they get different views. We talked about different methods of interpretations, different levels of maturity and knowledge. And when a person starts studying the Bible and they became a Christian 1 week ago and they look at a passage, they're not going to be able to have all the insights of a person who's been a Christian for 30 years and studied the Bible and knows how things fit together. So sometimes it is different levels of maturity and knowledge as people study the Bible. So that's why there are different interpretations. Then we started looking at some different things. Like we talked about terms. And we said terms like revelation, God making himself known. Inspiration, God making himself known in a written form. Illumination, Holy Spirit helping us understand Scripture. Interpretation, what does it say? Application, what does it mean? We then talked about bridging the gap. And you remember the gaps were the different places, different time, different language, and different culture. So when you study the Bible, it's different. I mean, just this morning, if you haven't been to church already, we're studying 1 Kings 7, and it's a description of the temple. And to be honest with you, that, you know, most of us never seen the temple, never even seen a drawing of the temple. Some people hadn't. He's just describing these big pillars and this kind of thing. And you'd say, well, if I don't have some kind of picture of this thing, how am I going to even know what it looked like? So in order to bridge the gap, there's things you have to have. The third thing that we talked about, I think, is there are different ways to interpret the Bible. There are allegorical interpretation, spiritual interpretation, literal interpretation, which we'd call historical, literal, grammatical interpretation. That's why there are different interpretations, because sometimes people come to the Bible and they say, you can't take these passages literally. Or somebody else comes and says, 1,000 years means 1,000 years. And some others would say, no, it just means a long time. You know, so that's why there's different interpretation. The fourth thing is guidelines. So we talked about the different guidelines again in the Scripture, that you always study in this context, that you always study it grammatically. You always look at it and cross-reference it, those kind of things. And then last but not least is what we spent the last couple of weeks on, is the different method of observation, interpretation, and application. A way to study the Bible in which you ask the questions and you look at the verbs and connectors and keywords and all those kind of things. And I hope that you will take the time sometime to go to a passage of Scripture or a book of the Bible or something and say, I'm going to really try it the way J.B. talked about it. I'm going to observe that passage and I'm going to ask those questions. And then I'm going to interpret it. I'm going to really look at the verbs. I'm going to really look at these connective things. I'm going to really look and say, that's a key word, that's a key word, that's a key word. And that you really do it and see what happens on your own study when you do that. You will be so surprised. First of all, you won't get very far very quickly. You'll go, gosh, this takes a long time. Yeah, it does. It does, but you know it. So it's fun stuff. Okay, now let's get to the tips, okay? The tips. Okay, and go back just to tips and keep that up there for just a second. All right, when we talk about tips, I'm going to give you a practical way of studying the Scripture, okay? We've already talked about the Bible study methods and all that stuff, but let me give you some tips and some tools and some practical things. Let's just pretend that every day you have what we call a quiet time. You get up or before you go to bed or sometime during the day, you'll spend maybe 30 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever, and you're reading the Bible, you're maybe memorizing a verse, you're writing something in a journal, or, you know, and that's your quiet time. But we're going to say that once a week, you're going to study the book of Philippians. That's going to be your Bible study. It could be any book. It could be anything. When I started studying the Bible for the first time, I decided that I better study something short, you know, something. And so I found the book of Philemon had 25 verses. I thought, I can handle that. I can handle that. It took a long time. I didn't know it was going to take that long. I didn't know there was that much in it. I thought you'd read through Philemon and I'd say, okay, all it's saying is this. It's huge. As every book of the Bible is, as every passage is. But let's pretend we're going to do Philippians, and we're going to study it, and we're going to study it an hour. Whoa. Wow, an hour. So we're going to get off, and we got our desk, and we got some tools, and we're starting with our Bible, and we got our Bible, we got paper, pencils, we're ready to go, right? And we're going to study an hour. So we got a little clock there, and this is my first recommendation, okay? You divide your study into one-third and two-thirds. One-third of the time, you read. Two-thirds of the time, you study. So for the first third, or the first 20 minutes, we're going to read Philippians. Now, you may say, JB, I read pretty fast. I think I can read through the book of Philippians faster than 20 minutes. Good. Read it again and again. Some of you may say, you don't know how slow I read. Okay. So let's say you only get two chapters of Philippians in 20 minutes. Now, you're not studying it. You're just reading it. Wherever you are, you read. And at the end of 20 minutes, you stop. And you might say, okay, I stopped at Philippians chapter 2. So next time, I'll start again reading at Philippians chapter 3. What you're doing is you're reading the book over and over and over again. We'll talk about why in just a minute, but that's what you do. Because what you want to do is you want to see the letter to the Philippians not as I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, But everything that came before it and everything that came after that, that you see that it was a letter to a church written by somebody at a particular time about a particular subject. And pretty soon you begin to see the whole book of Philippians at one time. You won't see everything, but you see the flow. You see what the book is. So you have to read it over and over again. So for the first third of whatever time you're studying, or let's just say the first 20 minutes, you're just reading it. And then you look up and your 20 minutes is up. And so you say, okay, next time I'll start right there and I'll just keep on reading. Then for the next 40 minutes, you're going to study the book. And the best thing to do is when you're studying a book, you're going to break it down and you're going to dig it. And usually you'll break it down into paragraphs. I don't know whether you realize this or not, but your Bible usually breaks the books up into paragraphs. In fact, let me if everybody turn to Philippians for just a second, okay? Just for fun. And if you notice that a lot of the verses, It'll like the first verse have a dark number one, and then number three is dark, and if you look down at verse 12 is dark. Does your Bibles break it up like that? Yes or no? Some don't. Some do. Basically, if you go back to original language, or if you go even in English, the Bible is broken up into paragraphs. Which, what happens in a paragraph? All of us English, all of the English people. What is a paragraph? It's a subject. It's an idea. It's something. And so I would say the very best way to do it is study the Bible in its sections, in its paragraphs. And so here's our first day. Our first day we read Philippians over and over and over, and then 20 minutes ended. And now we're going to start. And the best we can tell is Philippians goes Philippians 1, 1 and 2. Philippians 1, verse 3 through verse 11. Philippians 1, 12 through some stop at the end of verse 18. Some go to another. In other words, you just break it up in sections. Okay? Now, this is our first time to study. So what we may have to do is we may have some tools that we've talked about so you can get background on Philippians. And so there's some tools that you could study, and you'd say, okay, this letter to the Philippians was written by Paul to the church at Philippi, which is a Roman colony, and it was written while Paul was in prison. And so you get background before you start. That may be the whole first day of study, and you don't even get into the verses because it takes you all that time to get background. Okay? So the next time you sit down to study, the first 20 minutes, what do? You read, and you put, boy, at Philippians, you're all of a sudden seeing that Paul's writing this letter. It's the whole book. You're seeing it. And then you say, okay, now I got all my background. I'm ready to go. So today I'm going to start Philippians 1 verses 1 and 2 because that's the first section. And what do you do there? You observe it, interpret it, and apply those two verses. Now, here's the second little deal that I want to throw up there. Two reasons why you read and study together. Number one, reading gives you the big overview of the book. As you read it over and over again, you see the book. I told y'all I did something years and years ago. I really wanted to know the book of Romans. And I knew Romans in the sense that I knew verse after verse. You did Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, Romans 12:1-2. I mean, just verse after verse. But what I decided to do, and this, I had some time. I decided that every day I'd get up real early, and I decided I would read the book of Romans without stopping every day. Now, I had time. I'm not expecting anybody else to do that. That's 16 chapters. It was amazing. By 2 weeks, I saw the whole book of Romans. I saw it as a letter. I saw as he wrote it, what he said here and what he said there and what he said there. And it all flowed together as a book. Same thing will happen to you when you read the book of Philippians and you read it 20 minutes and 20 minutes and 20 minutes. Pretty soon you're seeing how the book fits. So not only the reading gives you the big overview, but the study is going to give you the details of the letter or the book. So as you're reading and studying, you're getting the big overview and you're getting the details. So our second study, we've now gotten the big overview. We read for 20 minutes. Now we're going to get into Philippians 1, 1 and 2. And we're going to do observation, interpretation, and application. That's what we're going to do. And we may not get it all in one day. You may just get a little bit. I don't even know. I'm not even following this along. Where are we? Oh, okay. Are you at the top of the third page? Yeah, okay, we'll get to that in just a second. Just hang in there. Okay, and so we're going to do that. Now, let me tell you what you do, and I've got an idea, just something you'd understand. when you study and you go observation, and you go who, what, where, when, why, you say Paul to Timothy, Paul and Timothy to the to about Jesus, about the, you get all that who's and what's and where's and when's and why's and how's, and then you start with the verbs and, all, and you get all this. And when you get through, technically, you got verses 1 and 2. You know what that's talking about. And then you may say, but I want to see if I'm okay. So then you, that's when you go use some things like commentaries, where you read what somebody else says about verses 1, 1, and 2, or whatever verses you're studying. Now the reason you always do your own study before you ever go to commentaries, and there's a reason for that. If you read the commentary first and then you study, you will see exactly what the commentary says, and you'll get the same thing every time. The goal is for you to do your own study. Not already have what this guy tells you it says before you ever get there. Now what's going to be amazing is you're going to study it, you're going to read some commentaries, and you're going to say, that guy got it right. That guy's right. That's the same thing I got. Sometimes you're going to read people and you go, that guy is way off. Because it could be you way off, but most of the time, you know, who knows? But a lot of times you'll read somebody and they don't study it from a historical, literal, grammatical interpretation, and they are way off. And by your own personal study, you can dig it. So always do that. 20 minutes reading, 40 minutes study, observation, interpretation, application, doing all this. Now, when you study the New Testament, you usually take smaller sections because of the letters, because they're harder to study, easier. I mean, they're harder to study, but easier to apply. When you study the New Testament, not the narratives like the Gospels, but when you're in Romans and Philippians and all that, it's harder to study because you go in all these little verses and all this stuff, but it's easier to apply because oftentimes they'll give you like, stop letting sin reign. There's your application. When you study the Old Testament, you take bigger sections because it's narrative. I mean, it's going to seem strange, but we're studying chapter 7 this morning. That's 51 verses on a Sunday morning. We're going to go 51 verses? If you think I've talked fast in the past, wait till this morning. That, but we don't hit all the verses. But anyway, you do bigger sections, narrative literature, bigger sections. Now, easier to study, harder to apply. Okay? So you're going to do that. Now, observation, interpretation, application, and then you look at your tools, you look at stuff. Now, as you're doing interpretation, that's when there's other tools to go to. I'll get to it in a minute. Commentaries are the last thing you use. Your tools, like your language tools and your background tools and all that, you use that while you're studying. Now, there are two, let's see, there's the next thing, right? Two things. As you're studying the Bible, two questions that you can ask yourself. As I study, how could I communicate this to someone else? As you're studying Philippians and you see something there and you go, wow, the question you can ask is, how can I teach this to somebody else? How can I communicate that? Because you remember something that we taught you, that not everybody has the gift of teaching, but everybody is to communicate the truth. You're to take the things that you've been taught and entrust it to other people. Every one of us have the responsibility to take truth from God's word and help communicate that to other people. That's called making disciples. So as you study the Bible, you ask the question, how could I communicate these truths to somebody else? How can I help them understand this? This is a great truth. I mean, you ever study the Bible and you find something there, what's the first thing you want to do? I want to tell somebody else. A second thing, as you apply, as you study that, as you apply, the questions you ask is, how can this change my life? Prof. Hendricks always said that we don't study the Bible to know, we study the Bible to apply, that the study of the Word of God, the end result is a changed life, that God didn't give us His Word so we'd say, I know stuff. He gave us His Word so we'd be different people, so we'd grow and we'd be changed and conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So when you study, as you're studying, you say, how can I communicate this to somebody else? As you're seeking to apply it, say, how can this actually change my life? What is it that I can learn from this? How can I do it? Okay, with that in mind, I'll take us to the third thing. Now, if you got questions or stuff, just ask me. And let's go to the tools, okay? And there are all different kind of tools out there. And I told you that when you study the Bible, when I say language, just realize that the Bible is written in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Mostly, Old Testament, almost all Hebrew except for a few places. New Testament, all Greek. So you, most of us don't know, most of you don't know Greek or Hebrew. So you'd say, how am I going to bridge that gap? Because the, you know, the English Bible has bridged it very, very well. The English Bible is excellent. If you never once went to the Old Testament in any way, I mean, to the language in any way, shape, or form, you can know the Scripture. But there are tools that make it come alive for you. So I've got a few things that I want to talk about under this part where it says language. And I brought some of them in. Let me see if I can put them together for you. I talked about this last week. Here's the thing called a concordance. If you've got a New American Standard, there's a New American Standard concordance. If you've got an old King James, there's a King James concordance. If you've got an NIV, there's an NIV concordance. What a concordance does, it lists every word in the Bible. We talked about it last time. If you said peace, peace, let the peace of God, where is that verse? You could go and find the word peace and you could go to every place that's listed. Eventually you're going to find that verse. But the key for the language in this book is that you can take the word peace, and as you open it up and you find it, there's some little bitty numbers out to the side. It goes back to the Hebrew or Greek dictionary in the back of the concordance. And since we're talking a Greek word for peace, eirene, you will find it back here and it will give you the definition. It'll even give you the Greek word. So without knowing the language, using a concordance, you can find the Greek word and what it means, or the Hebrew word and what it means. You can do that. There's so many other tools. There is a book called Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words. This is in English all the way. You look up the English word, you say the word peace, and you find it, and it gives you all the Greek words for peace and where they're found. So this is an excellent tool, and these are tools that you don't have to know Greek. In fact, the truth is, I don't use either one of these tools. Because I know Greek, I don't use these. I just go straight to the Greek New Testament and go through it. But if I didn't know Greek, I would have to go back here and find the Greek word or find the Greek word in this. So it really, really helps you. Now, there's another tool I just wanted to bring. And some of these you say, I'm never going to buy this. You need both of these. You need both of these. If you're going to do any Bible study at all, you got to have both of these. So get them. Okay? Now, you got to have these two. And by the way, I found on Christian Book Distributors in this catalog, and you can call the church and we'll order this for you, but these two books on sale, $19. Both books. So they're not out of reach. I mean, you can have these two books that you could look up stuff and you can do it. There's a book by a guy by the name of Weiss, and he has a 4-volume set. Nowadays, I think they put it in 3 volumes. And he goes through certain books of the Bible and he takes the words and he explains a whole bunch for you dealing with the language. This is so fun. He's excellent. That'd be something you'd want to get someday. Now, on the back page, just to show you something, on the back page of this handout that I have for you, I have a listing. Just flip over there, and if you notice, I have a listing of tools, the types of tools you need, like a concordance and a Bible dictionary and an atlas and some language stuff and culture books and background books, commentaries and histories. I also have listed for you a bibliography of some of the key books that would be great to have. And some of them, so it's incredible. And not all of them are on here. I mean, this is just a few. You call me or you come by my office, I'll show you books. I mean, I got books all over the place. And some of them I'd say, you never want to use that one. You won't use that one. But this one would be good. So my advice is you really need these two books, Vine's Expository Dictionary, and you need Strong's Concordance or whichever. It's called the Strongest Concordance. You need a concordance, whatever it is. This would be a great one for language if you want it. But they cost some money, okay? All right? Now, besides that, you got to have, what about places? Because that's the second thing on your chart. One is language. The other is places. How do you know where things are? This is the best Bible atlas that I've ever seen. It's called the Macmillan Bible Atlas by a guy by the name of Veroni and Ivayana. That's their names. It's listed on your book thing. In fact, it's the very first one on your bibliography. It's the Macmillan Bible Atlas. I think it's the best atlas. There are two or three atlases out there that are excellent that you could get. There's one by Moody. There's one by Zondervan. They're all good. This is my favorite, and here's why. In the back, it lists verses and places that tie into maps. So when you're studying the Bible, all you have to do is look in the back and you'll find the verses. And like if you're studying Philippians chapter 3, you look back there may be a reference to Philippians chapter 3. You'll go up and it'll show you the map. Especially the book of Acts where it says Paul says he stopped there. You can go look it up and it'll tell you exactly where they were. So it's important to do that. You ask why? Remember when the wise men came to the religious leaders and they said, where is he that is going to be born king of the Jews? And they looked it up and it was going to be in Bethlehem. Well, if you really look at it, you're talking 6 to 8 miles from Jerusalem is Bethlehem. If you look in the, you know, you may thought, how far did they have to go? 6 miles. Okay, that's places. History. There are all kind of books that give you background on history. I just want to show you a couple of things. Like Unger's Bible Dictionary. You need a Bible dictionary. Here's a book by this guy named Jehoiakim Jeremias. Jerusalem in the time of Jesus tells you everything about what was going on at the time of Christ. Let's see. New Testament Times gives you all the background on the New Testament, what was like living in the time of Jesus. Here's a theological word book, which gives you key words, any words you can think of, and you look it up, and it tells you what that word means and how it's used theologically. Incredible books. There are all kind of tools out there. If you look, go on to where it says culture, my favorite book on culture is called The New Manners and Customs of Bible Times. It tells you what people ate, how they lived, how they farmed, what clothes they wear, how the family operated, everything. Great book for culture to know what people were like as you study. So there's all kind of tools. Let me see what else I got. Okay, that's that. Last thing I just want to tell you about is commentaries. Huh? Both? It can't be both. Okay, we do this real quick. I know, but they can't start without us. Anyway, let's do this. Commentaries. You got to have a commentary. Let me tell you what you need to buy. If you're going to get a commentary, now commentary, as you know, is a book that goes through books of the Bible that tell you what they mean. There's one volume commentary on the Old Testament and a one volume commentary on the New Testament put out by Dallas Seminary called the Bible Knowledge Commentary. If you buy the set, you will have a commentary on all 66 books in the Bible from a historical, literal, grammatical interpretation, from a conservative view that will help you understand it. And this is called a one-volume commentary. This happens to be the New Testament one. If you had money, I would buy four things. I would buy this atlas. I'd buy these two books. And I'd buy, actually it would be five because there are two books here, I'd buy this. You would have a commentary of every book in the Bible. You'd be able to go to the language. You'd be able to go to the background. And, of course, then I'd buy this one too. Okay, we're going to keep buying, but you got to have this one. That's the culture one. Commentaries, there's different kinds. There's some that are a lot of details, some that are not very much detailed, and some that are one-volume commentaries that's not going to give you a lot of detail. But you got to have these things if you really want to study. And I think you do. So look at this. Look over it, say, hey, I want to get some of those. There's some tremendous things there. Both bales have already run. Okay, that just doesn't seem possible. Applications, very, very quickly. Be encouraged to study the Bible for yourself. Number two, study the Scripture using a sound biblical study method or Bible study method, which is observation, interpretation, application. Third, gain skills and tools to help you understand, get this stuff. Number four, make application of God's Word in your life. And number five, be ready to pass on the truth to others. If that's blanks, you're not going to be able to write those down. Is that blanks? But you can't write them down. Thanks for just looking at that, but you can't write them down. Anyway, all right. If you got questions, well, I'll give you those some other time. Dear Heavenly Father, what a great group. Help us, Lord, that we just want to get into the Bible for ourselves. Help us to do it. Help us to get tools and provide money and provide ways to get tools so that we can get the things that we need so we can dig the Scripture. Thank you for each one in this room who has a heart to know you, to know your word. I pray, Lord, that as we study, as we observe, as we interpret, as we read, as we put it together, as we pass it on, that it'll be the greatest time that we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior and that we're used by you to touch lives for Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, Lord, for this time. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.